Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the crazy surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into the secret history of the casting couch, to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
So Scott Flansburgh, the human calculator, is the man who's behind this new examination of the origins of basketball. You can link up to him at coasttocoastam.com. And so I want to go, there was something, you know, I'm fascinated by the story, not just because I don't really know anything about it, and so I love to learn new stuff, but you mentioned that the YMCA in Springfield, Massachusetts was looking to start a new winter activity, so that something that would, because this was part of a belief that was more prominent maybe now than it is now, that somehow the physical fitness was tied into physical superiority. There was kind of an Ubermensch thing that was going on with people who had inherited some of the Nietzschean beliefs about the Superman. And so... It was legit that they were looking for new ways. It's not a stretch to think that's how basketball got a platform, is because they were looking for things for people to do in the winter to stay fit until you could go back to playing baseball or running or, you know, track or whatever, right?
Yes, and Naismith's boss, a man named Gulick, actually got caught because he told the YMCA he came up with a new exercise routine, but he had actually stolen, you know, a program from Europe. And so the guy was, a little bit questionable anyway. But what we found on our last day of our investigations, Ian, was what blew me away the most. I was in Utica, New York, printing off some newspapers that showed these guys were celebrating their 50-year anniversary. But I ended up at the Historical Society in Utica, and they had a flyer from the YMCA in Utica from January of 1893. So now basketball had been out for a year. And Gulick put out a letter, a 4-paragraph letter that's contained in the book that you referenced, Naismith's Basketball Stolen Legacy. And it is basically a disclaimer for the future. It says, you know, Mr. Naismith and I were sitting around the other night talking about his invention of basketball, and we were talking about the word invention and what does that really mean, because there's nothing new under the sun. So if there's something out there and you tweak it a little bit, then it's really yours. And so it was literally a disclaimer for the future to protect, or, you know, soften the blow for Naismith and Gulick.
Right. That's very interesting. And your, you know, anybody, I have to get an update from you. So since we last spoke, married, kids, where are you on the family timeline thing?
I'm still happily divorced. No kids. I'm 58. I play golf a lot. I'm a 4 handicap, and I visit like a couple hundred schools a year, and it's
you got plenty of kids.
I'm very happy. Yeah, but it's a good balance.
Well, this is why I mentioned it, because with our boys, we got them both into swimming in the winter so that you don't have to work off those 5 or 6 pounds in the spring. And yeah. So, and it turns out one of our kids was a very gifted swimmer, but it only started because we were just trying to give them a winter activity. And so we got him in the pool, and he ended up going, you know, Division III, but ended up doing exceedingly well in swimming for his entire college career. And so that's where I really track with that. I understand what the YMCA was trying to do by then sending out these rules and trying to create new games. That's what their mission was about, was to get young, you know, young Christian men to exercise and to be leaders. And this was part of that, was that they were always doing some physical activity that would keep them in top physical shape.
And mental shape and spiritual shape. And, you know, right. That was that whole dogma. And what's really crazy, Ian, is that imagine this back in 1892. These kids are playing basketball in Springfield, but it's already been playing in Herkimer. And so it really just goes through time where nobody really cares about who invented it, because nobody knew how big it was going to get. And then it got a lot of control. But if you read a book called James Naismith Reader, this guy named Douglas Stark wrote it, and it's all just Naismith's words. And when you listen to how Naismith invented basketball, according to his own words back in 1892 versus 1920s, it has changed completely. And just to give you the example, the original story is that he had an hour before the class of coming up with this new sport. He was laying in bed, and he came up with it and wrote these 13 rules down and walked.
Oh, come on. Right. That sounds like almost like the story of the Quran or something like that. Like, right. Like it came down from God and he wrote it in a kind of like a invisible hand. And that is true. That is how he later spoke about it. And a lot of people still believe that.
Well, there's never been another narrative, just to show you how weird this gets. Now, this was in the 1890s. Now, 1920s, 1930s, you got the Olympics, and then Naismith passes away. Well, we found an affidavit signed by Lambert Will stating exactly the dates that he sent the documents to Springfield, what was contained in those, everything. The guy was a fireman for 65 years. He ran a print shop for 40 years. He was just Mr. Community, and you can just see it in the history of Herkimer. And he just didn't care. He didn't care that he didn't get the credit for it. He was questioned about it when the book came out in the 1950s about this. And now here's where it gets really strange, Ian. In 1956, well after Naismith died, Springfield decided they're going to build the Basketball Hall of Fame, because that's where it happened with Naismith. But Naismith only spent a couple of years there and had no affiliation, you know, for decades now. But in 1956, they decided to build the Hall of Fame in Springfield. And who did they have to call to get that confirmed? Really nobody. Well, Herkimer heard about it. Lambert Will and this guy named Frank Basil, who wrote the other book, and they went to Springfield and met with their attorneys and a board, a commission. They presented their evidence, and they were dismissed because everybody on the board was from Springfield.
Right.
And a couple of years later, they build the Hall of Fame, and the first thing they do is not include Herkimer in anything to do with the Hall of Fame in any way. Through the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. And then in 1994, Ian, it's the 100-year anniversary of basketball, they do a special thing. They finally invite Lambert Will's family from Herkimer to bring the evidence that they've had for generations to come, and they're going to put it under glass at the Hall of Fame in Springfield in the middle of the room. The Lambert Will family is so excited. They go to Springfield. They give them the stuff, a ticket from the game, a picture of the team with the ball, you know, with that 91-92 thing, the controversial
right.
ball. And they do a little ceremony. 30 family members show up. We've got the video of that ceremony. It's 5 minutes long. They leave. Well, about a month later, one of the kids go back to show it off to somebody, and it's gone. And they asked the Hall of Fame, what happened to the Lambert Will documents in the case? And they said, we don't know what you're talking about. And to this day, they have not returned those documents or evidence to the Lambert Will family at all.
Oh,
to the point now where one of his grandsons is a senator in Vermont and has requested those, and they still have not. And the Washington Post did a feature on this story and this book and this evidence that we came together with. And when the Hall of Fame was asked about these documents, they said that none of the people working there now were there at the time, and they don't know what happened.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, this is... I don't know why HBO Sports hasn't done anything on this, or 30 under 30 or whatever, 30 on 30. I mean, this is prime for that. They should be doing it. This is fascinating. Again, Scott Flansburgh is the human calculator. Let's go back a little bit. Again, Lambert Will is 16 years old when he comes up, when he takes the four rules, if you will, that was for a sport that was not being played like basketball. It was getting played like rugby. We used to call this mall ball. I don't know what you grew up calling it, but that's what we called it on the playground. And it's just whoever had the ball, you jump on them and get them to give up the ball, and you run around, and yeah, it's great. Mall ball's kind of fun, but that's basically what this was until they marked off different rules. And those are the 13 rules that Lambert Will came up with. But he was disempowered. And here's the problem. He's he's humble, it seems like. So this is really the battle between humility and arrogance, between somebody who was happy to know that his friends knew that he had invented something, and somebody else who saw this as their lifelong legacy, and they were willing to lie about it. And it's not the first lie that Naismith was telling. If what is you're telling me is true, is that he also never achieved any kind of doctorate in theology, which is part of his legend, right?
Well, and he also ended up at Kansas, and one of his first experiments, because he wanted to be known as an inventor, he claimed to invent things like the hairdryer. He invented a stretching machine. I guess he didn't know about the Dark Ages, but he claimed to have invented a stretching machine and actually used it on his children to try to make people taller. There's a lot of weird stuff this guy had. His wife wrote a book later in life too, that, and his family, that talk about, you know, how strange some of those things were. But you're right, that story just got embedded and nobody challenged it. You know, we're going up against a 130-year-old myth. And when I because of my life in Phoenix, I'm friends with a lot of people in basketball, and I really thought I could fix this in 15 minutes. And so I called Jerry Colangelo's office because he's the chairman of the Hall of Fame.
Sure.
And just said, Jerry, you know, I mean, we lived on the same golf course. I played tournaments with him. I know him enough. I thought I could just contact him and straighten this out. But, you know, that didn't happen. And so I contacted the Hall of Fame, and I got through to a guy, and they invited me there. And we had lunch. And he said, Scott, my job is not to protect Naismith. My job is to tell the story of basketball. If you have evidence that proves otherwise, we'd love to see it. And so we asked for permission to access to the records. And the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame gave us unlimited access to all the records, including at Springfield College, where most of the historical documents are. And my team, we spent 7 hours there with gloves on in a sealed room going through documents 130 years old. It was an amazing day, but that's where we located the evidence that showed that Herkimer invented basketball.
Why didn't that change everything right then and there?
Yeah, it's interesting. If you read the Washington Post article, the historian that runs the program at Springfield College, you know, was dismissive about the 13 rules and questioned their legitimacy, and knows more about Naismith than anybody on the planet probably, but had never heard this story and had never been challenged. And so he was as surprised as anybody, but he was very open and honest. And he helped us find a document from Herkimer. These kids in Herkimer were producing a monthly newsletter like every YMCA was supposed to. And he threw it, one of the editions, on the desk. And we did not know about it till we got there to Springfield that day. And that's what started the trail. And what we found, Ian, is that we were off by a year. Lambert Will actually invented basketball before that. It was in 1890. He just didn't have the first game until February 7th, 1891. But we couldn't find any, like, 20-year anniversary, 50-year anniversary. But when we got that document, we found out he considered 1890 as the start, and we found all the anniversary stuff in 1940, the 50-year anniversary. So what are the odds that 13 guys are still going to lie about something all 50 years later?
Yeah,
at their anniversary. So lots of evidence, physical evidence here in the Valley that shows that something happened before anything happened in Springfield.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get 3 wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.